Hello, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Celeste Stein Show. I'm your host, Dr. Celeste Stein, and we have a very special show for you today as we welcome international recording artist Luke Bird to the show and ventriloquist Megan Pyfus, who is based in the U.S. Both of these incredibly talented young people started performing and showing their gift and love for music at a very early age. I've seen both of them perform live, and I am just in awe of the talent they possess and so excited that they have chosen to join us today to share some of their music and talk about what it really has been like during the past several months as we are, you know, coming up on several months of COVID-19 and being shut in and all of that. So thanks to both of you for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
And thanks for having us.
Thank you. I want to say that we're going to begin the show first with Luke, who is based in London in the UK. It's about 5 p.m. there, I'm told. And here it's 11 a.m. So we're being mindful of the time difference and hope everybody has tuned in at the right time as we're dealing with an international artist. And Luke is going to give us a sample of some of his latest music today and really begin to talk a little bit about his music journey thus far. Luke, I want to begin by asking you, how did you actually get started in the music business?
I think I first heard music when my dad played me his old soul records. And I just remember hearing the voices of Stevie Wonder and Donny Hathaway and Earth, Wind & Fire. And I just become obsessed with it, really. And from that age, I think I was probably about 7 or 8. None of the kids in school were listening to any of that stuff. But for me, it was all I wanted to hear. And eventually I started to have a few piano lessons. And then I sung at a local talent competition at the local pub. And I didn't think I was any good at all. And I won this competition. And from that moment, I was just addicted to performing, addicted to music and everything about it, really.
Well, you know, it's funny, when I first heard you and saw you perform live, I have to tell you, I could not believe the soulful sound coming out of this tall, lanky kid from the UK. And, you know, you mentioned your dad, but do you have other singers and what have you in the family? I mean, it doesn't seem like one would just get that out of the air.
You know what? There's no singers. It's just a random thing. Even I used to sing in the back of the car when I was a kid, and my dad would look at my mum and go, "I think he can sing." And it was just a bit weird. No one's particularly musical. So it was a bit strange. And I think that made me maybe navigate the music industry in a different way, because none of us have known what to do. But I also probably came at it very naively, but also full of, less cynicism around a lot of it. And, so yeah, he's had his pros and cons, I think.
Yeah. Well, you know, with some of the incredible talent that you have, people might be surprised to find that you're an unsigned artist if that hasn't changed. Have you been signed to a label?
You know what? I'm unsigned. I was signed. I signed to a record deal a long time ago when I was a kid. I mean, I'm still a kid now, but when I was even younger. And I went through that. I went through that whole process, and I learned an awful lot. But I probably achieved more being unsigned. And I think times have changed. There was a time and place where you had to be signed in order to achieve a certain amount. In order to achieve anything. I think nowadays, with the power of social media and the power to create your own fan base, and this sort of DIY attitude to it, there's much less reliance on a label and on anyone to tell you what you can do and how you can do it. So I'm not looking, my dream is to connect with as many people across the world with my music. Whether I have to sign a deal to do that or not, I'm not sure. I'd love to do it without signing a deal. So yeah, at the moment we're independent, and we'll see where that goes.
I thought you were going to say independent and loving it, right?
I am. The grass is always greener. The grass is always greener. I have friends who are signed who are in difficult positions and would rather the freedom of being unsigned. And yet, sometimes I look at people who are signed and I think, I wish I could have that. And But, you know, as I say, the grass is always greener. But as long as you do all you can, that's it.
Right. And stay true to yourself. Right. Because sometimes when you get under a label, you end up having to do things that you may not really have wanted to do and that type of thing. So that certainly offers you some of that freedom as well. Now, I want to talk about the remake of that Bobby Caldwell song, What You Won't Do for Love. I mean, that's an incredible song. And I understand it went to number one on Shazam in the UK after being heard on Love Island, which is, for those of you in the US who don't know, and other countries that might be listening, it's a British dating reality series. How did that come about? How did you find out that your song was going to be played on this major show?
It was really random. Someone heard it and they pitched it to the show. But the show is the biggest show in the UK. And I mean, you don't have to like it. It's very sort of, I don't want to say trashy TV. I don't want to.
I watch trashy TV.
I mean, my mum loves it. My mum loves it. So someone pitched it, and they play, I think, like 900 songs a series. So so many songs just get played in the background and lost. So even when I found out that it was going to be potentially played on the show, I was excited, but I didn't expect, you know, too much. But they ended up playing at the pivotal moment when there was a huge breakup on the show, and they played the whole song pretty much. So it just, I was about to go on stage as it was played on TV. So my phone was just blowing up. It was crazy. And it just, what it led to just a huge wave of, you know, a good few months of sort of TV appearances and loads of radio support and stuff that I believed I'd deserved before, but I hadn't been heard. And people were responding to emails for the first time in a long while. So, you know, it was a nice win. And I think you just search for those wins to keep you going. The next time you're having a bit of a dip, you think, oh, well, I achieved that and I didn't see that coming. So who knows where the next win's going to come from.
Yeah. Well, just having heard that song, I know some people may be familiar with it, you know, here in the U.S. when Bobby Caldwell did the song. And I, you know, have to tell you, you have really done that song some justice. Yeah. So would you mind playing a little bit for us?
Of course not. Of course.
Oh, thank you.
So my version goes a little like this. What you won't do for love. You tried everything, but you don't give up. In my world, all you makes me do for love what I would not do. Guess you wonder where I've been. I search to find the love within. And I came back to let you know that I got a thing for you and I can't let it go. My friends wonder what is wrong with me.
Sing.
Well, I mean, I say,
amazing.
From your love, you see. I came back to let you know I got a thing for you and I can't let it go. Some people go around the world for love, but they may never find what they dream of. What you won't do for love. You tried everything, but you don't give up. And in my world, only you makes me do for love what I would not do.
Wow.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Absolutely amazing. And we're going to have to keep you right there at that piano in hopes you'll at least do one more song for us before you have to run off. I wanted to mention, you mentioned the dating show. So How has the love life and all that been, you know, in times of COVID? I mean, I'm sure it's put a damper on quite a few things.
Minimal is the only word I can say. No, it's tough. It's tough out here. It's you know what? To be honest with you, it's enabled, you know, the focus to solely go on the music and then exactly where I want to, you know, want to go. But there have been times in this particular period where, you know, I think the first couple months I loved because I was purely focused, but you do need a release and you do need something to write about and you need an experience and you need an embarrassing moment or you need nerves. And those feelings I wasn't getting, you know, and those feelings, I think that's what I've struggled with. You know, over the past sort of couple months, the second half of the lockdown, I've sort of been missing those normal social feelings, you know, of feeling anxious and feeling nervous and being excited and meeting a girl or whatever it might be. So yeah, I think, I mean, that's been tough and that's what we have to live with at the moment.
Right. So have you had to cancel any shows, concerts?
I had a whole UK tour announced and that had to be completely cancelled and rescheduled, which was a shame. But at the same time, I think like my big show that I was meant to have in London, because of sort of how well the social media has been growing during this lockdown, we've managed to reschedule and update the show twice to a venue that's like almost three times the size of that original venue.
Wow.
And I wouldn't have been able to, I wouldn't have been able to achieve that without lockdown, I don't think, because it was just a time when people needed entertaining and my social media, I sort of found some innovative ways to do that. And that in itself bore the success of people wanting to buy tickets to see me. So there's been pros and cons.
Right. I wanted to hop over to Megan. Megan is also an artist and fantastic ventriloquist who I would like to ask you the same question in terms of, you know, I know you have a lot going on and have just done incredibly well on a number of shows. America's Got Talent. You've been on the Apollo with Steve Harvey and the Oprah Winfrey show as a child. Wow. I mean, done some incredible things. Wanted to ask you, you know, what has your last couple of months? I know you're a new mom, so I'm sure it's been quite interesting.
Yeah, I never get a break. It's like, even in quarantine, I'm like, how did I get busier?
The first
couple of months of quarantine, exactly what Luke was saying, it just felt like you had so much time, like, oh man, like I don't have this distracting me to write so many songs, maybe get so much done. And in those first couple of months, I really did find myself getting a lot more family time and getting more time to write original music too. I love songwriting. It's something that I always loved doing, but I never thought of myself as really doing, as in sharing it with other people. I would make songs for myself as a kid and sing them to myself and maybe play them for my parents, but I never performed them. And so in that time, the initial couple months of quarantine, I said, you know, I'm gonna put out some songs that I wrote myself and see what people think. And I did it, and I was so excited and got some good feedback. But you know, after the first couple of months of quarantine, it got a little depressing, you know, that mm-hmm. lack of social interaction. And you realize, you know, when you're seeing people and being in front of an audience and getting applause and getting feedback in person, going out to a restaurant, going to brunch, you forget how much that brings joy to your life and how much it adds to hope. And so I felt myself getting into this little rut where I was like, well, I'm not going to post that. I don't think anyone will like it. Or I'm not going to do this because it's too happy and everyone's sad. Everything is sad right now and nothing is funny. So towards the end of summer, I took a second. I don't know what happened, but it just feels like the clouds opened and I took a second. I was like, okay, just because things aren't going the way they normally are, or just because we're in a valley or a low spot doesn't mean that we can't, that I can't have joy, that I can't have joy through the trial and things that are really difficult. And once I had that change in perspective, it's just because things right now aren't the way that I want them to be, I don't have to be pessimistic about my situation. I can still be hopeful. And right. So after I made that kind of mindset shift, I start, you know, okay, how can we make what I want to do work in the situation I am right now? And after I made that kind of mindset switch, I felt like opportunities started coming to me. I had the opportunity to start working with Sesame Street, which was a dream come true for a wow. puppeteer. Like a puppeteer like me. I sent in an application to work for them 3 years ago. I mailed in, I remember going to FedEx and mailing it off because mm-hmm. even the FedEx person was like, this is ambitious.
And there you are though, right? I mean, wow.
Love it.
And during COVID, they responded to me. It was like, hey, we had time because of the pandemic Amen. To look through our applications. So they, you know, I've been working with them, had a couple of recording opportunities in the past couple of weeks, and have gotten not just to been able to do, you know, vocal work, but also sing with them too. And so once I started looking up, things started going up. So I think right. this is a really creative time, and it's actually really special. Like Luke was saying, you know, there's a lot more freedom right now. You don't have to be with a record label. I don't have to be performing on stage. I don't have to get on a flight and go to a studio to be heard. I can,
which no one is really able to do right now anyway, right?
Exactly. And I don't really want to. So. I can record in my closet. I mean, I can talk to you right now.
And it's amazing. Still
have, yeah, we can still yeah. have connection while separated. So in a way, I really do like the freedom that I've had to be home and still work at the same time.
Yeah. Well, skipping back to Luke real quick. I know, you know, Megan mentioned a lot of people, you know, have suffered probably from depression. It gets a little intense being at home day after day and not seeing your friends, your loved ones outside of your home. I mean, I know people who literally have been shut in since about February or March right. and have not gone anywhere, literally. And mm-hmm. so I know one of your songs is like one of my favorites, that Butterflies song that you wrote. Tell me about that and what inspired that song.
I met this girl and it became apparent really quickly that she was struggling severely with social anxiety. And I'm the sort of person in that situation that, you know, would try and crack a joke or make someone feel better, but nothing I could say was making a difference to making her feel better. And I went away and it really stuck with me for ages. And I wrote this for her and I guess anyone else that needed to realize how great they could be, you know. So yeah, this is, but yeah, so that's what, yeah. That's
can we hear some of the words of that song? I'm hoping that might encourage someone else who might be stuck at home today and not able to get out, you know, as a means of encouraging them that, you know, it's going to be okay, right?
Exactly. Of course. Would you like me to sing a little bit now?
Yes, I would love that. Love that. Sure.
Dress look good on you, but wanna know what's underneath. You walk tense, uncomfortable, maybe just inhale and breathe. Anxiety gets the best of me, and I see you feel it too. So let me help you get out your head, remind you of the truth. When you think they care, they really don't. No, 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 no. Oh, when you think they care, they really don't. She can't see how beautiful she really is. She won't love nobody. There's nothing to give.
Life only broke her down bit by bit each time. And in those pretty wings and fly like butterflies, fly like butterflies, fly like butterflies, fly like butterflies, fly like butterflies. Don't go changing. Don't go faking who you are, shine your light up, shine it brighter, you're a star, you're a star, she can see how beautiful she really is, she won't love nobody, there's nothing again. Life only broke her down bit by bit each time. And then those pretty women fly like butterflies, fly like butterflies, fly like butterflies, fly like butterflies, fly like butterflies.
That was butterflies.
Oh my gosh.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah. We can't wait to get you here in the US. Hey guys, you heard it first on the Celeste Stein Show, right? No.
That's it.
But man, as I'm listening to that, those words are just so powerful and encouraging. So tell me, as you're kind of going through the process of writing, I don't know how long you've actually been writing music, but what is that process like as you're kind of, you mentioned like you can be inspired by things around you, but obviously it's been a little bit different during COVID, but under normal circumstances, how do you go about, putting together a song?
I think it always helps when you can connect to something. I used to write a ton of songs, talking back to when I was signed a long time ago, and I was in a session every day with a different top producer every day, and I was writing songs about stuff that I really didn't necessarily feel or hadn't experienced. So how could there be truth in that song? I learned to start writing about stuff that really, what resonates with me, is it meeting a girl that you really want to bring out of her shell or give her confidence? Or is it, feeling low yourself and trying to make yourself feel better? And I think those, when I write songs that I connect with and that I believe, they're the only songs that deserve to be heard, really, and I like to always start on the piano. If I'm writing, even if I'm writing with other people, I think I much prefer writing to chords on a guitar or a piano rather than a big beat. And then, once you've got the concept and once you've got the chords, it takes its own journey, and you just got to listen to the song gods and allow it to take you where it's meant to be.
So you play a number of different instruments, and
to be honest, piano's my main thing. I can dabble about on guitar, but I wouldn't call myself a player. But
that vocal is quite the instrument as well. Just awesome. Awesome.
Thank
so tell us what's ahead for Luke Burr. What are your hopes, dreams coming up? Some accomplishments that you're trying to get to over the next couple of months?
So I'm just about to announce a reschedule, a new UK tour for next year when hopefully the pandemic's out of the way. Okay. I've also written a next project. So I'm going to, my aim is that to continue to consistently release music every 6 to 8 weeks. I think that a new song should be put out, as long as I love it. And I have a new project of about 4 or 5 songs that I'm just wrapping up at the moment. So that should be, the first song will probably be out in about 4 to 5 weeks. And then hopefully I'll be out in the States. I've been spending some time out in Los Angeles, and hopefully, with the world a bit more normal, I can get back out there with you guys and start trying to create connections over that side of the pond.
Yeah. Well, I don't have any doubt that it will happen. You are incredibly gifted and just a great guy. And I do wish you the very best. I wanted to ask, right now, are you recording? You're in the studio? Or?
Yes. So I've literally just left the studio. I've got a song with a deadline that we're finishing. So I've just left us in the studio to come here.
Thank you so much.
No, it's been an absolute pleasure. It was amazing to hear Megan in the sound check. I'm going to get her involved in a live stream with me as well at some point.
So, incredible.
Later.
Amazing. Yeah, awesome. Yes, there's so much, going on. And I'm so glad to hear that in spite of the challenges that we have and that we're facing during COVID-19, that, you keep striving. And that is an inspiration, to me, and I'm sure a lot of people who, are struggling with uncertainty right now. And so to hear that, hey, there's still hope and there's still things that we can get out there and do. It's just, we have to do it a little different and realize this is our new normal, right? Yeah. So thank you so much for joining us. We're going to continue with Megan and hear a little bit from her. And incredible. And keep striving.
Thank you so much for having me. Pleasure to meet you both today. And I hope to see you one day soon, hopefully in person.
Right, absolutely. Well, I'll be in the front row.
I love it. Sending you all my love.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Feel it. Great work.
Bye-bye.
Okay. All right, Megan.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So we're gonna continue on. And unfortunately, obviously, Luke had to jump back in the studio, but that was enough, right?
Oh my God. Yes, yeah. Like, I'm going to be listening to Butterflies all weekend.
yeah. Beautiful song, but he ain't got nothing on you either. This is an incredibly talented young lady. As I mentioned, she's been on America's Got Talent, the Apollo with Steve Harvey a couple of times, and where she got a standing ovation. But even before that, was on the Oprah Winfrey Show as the world's smartest and one of the most smartest and talented kids. And you've even been featured, I read, on a segment with Jay Leno on The Tonight Show. So
yeah, that's right.
All amazing feats at such a young age. And I will just tell you, the first time I saw you perform live, I was just taken aback by the fact that first, okay, you were performing with puppets, which we really don't see a lot with African-American women, especially young women at your age. And so I was watching your lips. I never saw your lips move. And I was like, wow. I was just taking in. I'm just watching these puppets. And then all of a sudden you started singing this Whitney Houston song. And I was like, oh my God. Oh my Lord, this girl can sing. Well, she can sing. Amazing. And I was like, she's playing the piano, she's singing and working that puppet all at the same time. I was like, wow. Gifted, definitely gifted. And so on top of that, we also noted that you were valedictorian of your high school graduating class, attended Vanderbilt in Nashville. And so, of course, to hear all that surely didn't surprise me. Wanted to ask by how you actually got involved in the very rare art and talent of ventriloquism.
Yeah, it wasn't really random, surprisingly. So I grew up in the church. My father's a pastor out of Cincinnati. And we had a pretty robust, children's ministry as I was a kid. And there was a lady, her name was Dorothy Smith, and she taught children's ministry, and she was a vacation Bible school leader. And so during vacation Bible school, she would have puppets and black puppets that would tell stories and sing songs. And she loved it, but she was really bad.
But she was passionate, right?
Yeah, we didn't know. We were just happy to see puppets. And so one summer, she decided she wanted to get better and to get trained. And instead of just going by herself, she wanted to take a group of kids with her to learn so we could come back and start a puppet team for the church. And so we were all excited. We get to the conference. There's all these classes of world-class puppeteers. It was an international conference for church ministries, learning how to do puppetry. And there were also ventriloquists there. And I had never seen ventriloquism before. And there were specifically a lot of female ventriloquists. And they would sing with their puppets and tell stories about the Bible and sing. And I had already been into music. My father's a musician, come from a musical family, grew up around a lot of great gospel artists. And so I loved everything about it, like the imaginative quality of seeing a puppet move and talk, and it looks like it's doing it itself, and singing combined with that. And so I was immediately inspired. And so at the end of the conference, Miss Dorothy, she said, "Wow, that was great. We should come back next year. What classes do y'all want to sign up for next year?" And I was like, "Oh, I want to do ventriloquism." And she was like, "Are you sure you can do that?" I kind of took that as a challenge. Like, yeah, I can. And so I told my parents after the conference that I wanted to learn ventriloquism. And surprisingly, they were very, very supportive. And my mom, in hindsight, she probably thought of it as a way for me to break out of my shell. Like Luke was saying, I was one of those people that really suffered from social anxiety. I was in a shell. I didn't talk very much at all. The only time I really opened up ever was when I was on stage, you know, singing at church. And mm-hmm. so she went and got some library videos on how to do ventriloquism. I watched them backwards and forwards and learned within like a week, got a puppet and would take my puppet to school and show the other kids what I could do. And it actually really helped me open up even in front of my classmates who I'd known for a few months by that time. And my teachers noticed and they said, "Oh, you should do that at our school devotional." And that ended up being my first performance. I wrote my own little script with my puppet Charlie. And from there on, it grew. I ended up, you know, performing at other schools, at other churches, and then at other churches in other cities. And I started doing online video submissions. This is when YouTube, I don't even know if YouTube existed. It might have just started, but uploading videos to online had just become a thing. And Oprah opened up this online video submission, and I submitted my video, and she played it on the show, which was really cool. Wow. But I just got so many opportunities as a young kid, and I'm so grateful for every time I got an opportunity to be on stage and to sing. And eventually I gained the confidence to not just sing with my puppets, but also sing by myself too. I actually started singing with puppets for performance before I started singing myself.
And that enabled you probably to use the puppet, you know, like to test people out. Let's see what they think of the puppet, not me, right? No.
I can laugh at the puppet, but I might cry.
Well, we have to give a shout out to Miss Dorothy. Thank you, Miss Dorothy, we have an incredibly gifted woman before us today. But I was thinking as you were saying all this that your parents, you probably played some mean jokes on your parents. It was the dog.
I actually played jokes on my older sister. She was really creeped out by the puppets. And so I used to park them right in front of her door. And so when she would leave her room, it would just be staring at her. That was probably the most cruel thing I did. I was pretty nice.
Oh, that. I can't even imagine you doing anything. But anyway. As we look at COVID on a more serious note, you know, and the racial injustices that have been taking place, you know, in the U.S. with the George Floyd and Breonna Taylor situations that have really come to light and been in the forefront here of late in the press. Tell me, you know, what are some of your thoughts on that? I know you wrote a song called Mama's Mind that I, you know, heard the other day on your social media. And I mean, it was such a beautiful song. I mean, it about brought me to tears. It just was amazing. Was some of what's going on the motivation for that song, or how did that come about? Was that something you wrote recently?
Yeah, it's a song that I wrote recently, and it was very motivated by not just recent events, but events that have happened for years and years that have gone unnoticed. And so I had a moment where I had to talk to my dad, just kind of get his perspective on everything that had gone on, because I just felt like there was a deep wound in my heart and fear about everything that had happened. I have a toddler son, and I'm pregnant with another son coming along the way this Christmas. And
congratulations.
Thank you. So I don't look forward to the day. And I also had never thought that it would come to a day. I thought that by the time my sons would be older, and by the time I'm at the age I am now, things would be better, and we wouldn't have to worry about a Black man or Black woman potentially being treated differently by law enforcement. And so now, after the incident with George Floyd, that's really what triggered in my mind me starting to think about just the injustice of me having to explain to my son that he's going to be treated differently potentially when he's pulled over. And then looking at some of my friends who are not minorities, that they don't have to have that conversation. So I had a really wrestle in my mind with privilege. And like, I wish I had the privilege of telling my son that he's going to be 100% safe. I wish I had the privilege of ignoring what's happening right now, but I don't. And so, you know, and then I felt guilt. I was like, you know, I really can't complain about things that are going on. There's so many more opportunities now than there were when my parents were younger. My parents lived through segregation. They were first generation college students. They've experienced a lot more racial injustice than I ever will. And so I talked to my dad to get another perspective to open up my mind. And he was actually really supportive of where I was feeling. And he said, you know, for a lot of Black people, there's a Band-Aid over a large wound that is injustice and discrimination and lots of experiences that we've had. And he said these incidents with George Floyd and having to watch that on television where the whole world can see what we feel is like a Band-Aid being ripped off. And so, yeah, he's had some really horrible experiences growing up with discrimination. And I've been with him in the car when he's been profiled. He was arrested in front of our own home. My mother was pregnant with me for no reason. And he was the pastor in the community where he was arrested, literally walking. You could see the church from our house, and the officer had gotten success in our neighborhood by profiling and arresting just random Black men. And he thought he could get success with my dad. I'm sure he was in a nice car. And that was just an experience, a really bad experience that he had. But he was very, very understanding. Sorry, the doorbell just rang because I think I got an Amazon package. That's the beauty of reporting from home.
Right, exactly. There's so many things that we are having to kind of adapt to, right?
But he has experienced a lot, so we were able to talk through that, and he brought up a song that he wrote called Mama's Mind back in the 90s that referred to an incident in Atlanta where several young boys had gone missing. And it seemed like they were all connected, and law enforcement and the government didn't really, you probably remember, I was too young.
I actually covered that. Yeah. I was a reporter that covered the Wayne Williams. It was the Atlanta child murders, the Wayne Williams case. I think I was probably the youngest reporter, but I covered that for WHUR Radio in Washington, D.C. Yes. Shout out to my D.C. people.
But he was explaining to me that situation, and it seemed like no one cared. And you had these Black mothers who had all lost their family, their child, their own, and it just seemed like no one cared. And he wrote a song that not only spoke to the situation, but seemed to heal the fears that Black parents within his church had as well. And so he told me about the song, and he said, you know, I think you should rework it, because in some ways it still applies to today. And so I spent some time with this song, and I tried to think as to not be selfish when writing the song, but to really put myself in the position of a family that has been victimized by police brutality. And, you know, because I can be worried and think about what can happen, you know, when my boys start driving. But there are people right now who've experienced loss that I think need to be recognized. And so I wrote this song speaking to that ultimate pain, that worst case scenario, and with hopes of, you know, healing. And I was actually really, really considering not posting the song at all, because I thought maybe it was a little too depressing. And
no, you know, it is just absolutely beautiful, and I would be delighted if you could share it with the audience today, because it is so powerful. Would you mind?
Yes, of course.
Oh, thank you.
Turn my keyboard on. It was sweet. A little early.
Yep. it needs some coffee, like me.
Hush, little babe, don't you cry. You can stay, oh, mama's mine. You're not home, but you know I'm still here to wipe your tears. Gone too soon, and that's my issue. Your game's lost still in your room. I still play your favorite cartoons while they play your tape in the news. My son, they took your air and didn't stop to care. And now I'm asking why, how could they take your life? You couldn't dream or dare when the system wasn't fair. The world will heal with time, but you'll always be on my mind. On mama's mind. On mama's mind. Hush, little babe, don't you cry. I've got a plate with your favorite apple pie. You're not home. Yes, I know. I can't let go. Won't accept the status quo. Gone too soon, and that's my issue. Your games are still in your room. I still play your favorite cartoons while they play your tape in the news. My son, they took your air and didn't stop to care. And now I'm asking why, how could they take your life? You couldn't dream or dare when the system wasn't fair. The world will heal with time, but you'll always be on my mind. In my mind, you're still mine. I can't unwind your final sigh. In my mind, you're still mine. I can't unwind your final sigh. My son, they took your air and didn't stop to care. And now I'm asking why, how could they take your life? You couldn't dream or dare when the system wasn't fair. The world will heal with time, but you'll always be on my mind. In my mind, you're still mine. I can't unwind your final sigh.
Wow. I am just blown away. I mean, that song is so powerful, and I hope to see that song really get out there, because it really can be a catalyst for the change that I'm sure we're all hoping for. And speaking of that change, you know, what is it that you do hope for your two kids? You've got one and one on the way, and I hear they're both going to be, the other one's going to be a boy too.
Oh yeah, two boys.
Yeah. So, you know, what is it that, you know, as they grow up, what is it that you want for them?
I mean, basics. I want equality, you know. I don't want to have the privilege of not having to sit down my sons and say that for absolutely no reason or because of ignorance or hate that you will be treated differently by anyone. I mean, as simple as it sounds, I know it's a lot more difficult than it actually is. But I would say I want equal opportunities for them. I want them to be able to succeed and to take on any opportunity that they want without having to worry if race is going to be a barrier. I know I'm an artist, a songwriter, and ventriloquist, but I work full-time in commercial real estate, which is one of the least diverse industries in the world. And unfortunately, I've walked into situations and I've known that not only was my race a barrier, my gender was a barrier. And you end up having to, you work three times as hard to be on the same level as everyone else. And it's not fair. I mean, I love excelling and achieving. And so it hasn't held me back, you know, having to overachieve. But I want my sons to be able to be on an equal playing field as everyone else. And so, as simple as it is, equality, that's all I want.
Right. How do you think we get there? Because I think a lot of people, it does sound simple, but I don't know if you've ever given any thought to, you know, what needs to change? You know, what is it that we can be doing, you know, to actually catapult us forward instead of dealing with the same thing week after week, month after month, year after year? It just doesn't seem to change.
Well, it's unfortunate. I think systemic racism and inequality is real, and inequality and racism in America, it's like a strongly rooted tree. And over time, the tree has been slowly cut down, but there are roots that are still remaining. And I really think the next steps, I think, to really make things equal is the next generations. People are taught, right? You're taught racism.
Right. Nobody's born with that,
yeah,
you know?
You're not born with it. And so I've actually learned a lot in the past couple of months through working with Sesame Street. We did a town hall with CNN with some of the characters from Sesame Street. I played the role of Gabrielle, who's a young Black girl, and Elmo got on and talked to Vince Jones about racism.
Right.
They ask such genuine and authentic questions about racism, like, why do we have different colors? And so they got a scientist to come on and say, you know, it's a difference in melanin, you know, but it doesn't make us different from each other. It's just, you know, we look different than each other. So
that's great. Going back to basics. I mean, you know, and sometimes we have to do that, kind of break it down and make it elementary. Some things, you know, I've thought about is, you know, I know you mentioned a town hall, but I feel like, too, there could be training with police officers and more educational experiences. When I grew up in Washington, D.C., we had something called the Officer Friendly Program, and I don't know if any other cities still do that.
Yeah,
but I, you know, it taught me not to be afraid of police officers, to respect the law, but, you know, to know how to react. You know, you have to still be respectful, and that's just upbringing. And I think, so sometimes when you're a rookie cop, you know, they may put you into some of the worst areas and neighborhoods. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of it is getting to know people. And so if you're put in a position where you don't know anyone, you don't know much about the people, the culture, it is going to make the situation, you know, a little more volatile when something mm-hmm. goes on, because you don't, you know, you have to think of it from their perspective too. Mm-hmm. They don't know, you know, who this person is, if they may be a threat, if they're going to, you know, perhaps pull a gun or a knife. And so they are trained, you know, to react in the way that they typically react because, mm-hmm. you know, of the threat that it may be, you know, against them. However, you know, if there was more community policing, community events and training, I think, mm-hmm. you know, that's one of the potential solutions. I don't know how you feel about that, but I feel like that's mm-hmm. something that could assist a little bit more. And, you know, people often will march, you know, they march and march. But again, like I said earlier, it just seems to continue. So mm-hmm. I think there could be some components added to marching, like some educational get-togethers after, you know, maybe have everybody get together and have a lunch or something. And then mm-hmm. Maybe some seminars and some training on, you know, police brutality, as well as, you know, how we can better navigate the situation with the systemic racism that has existed, as you mentioned, for many years. Mm-hmm. I wanted to also talk a little bit about your upcoming plans, you know, turning back to some of the incredible things that you've done and are doing. I wanted to ask a little bit about what are some of your, as we're kind of preparing to wrap up the show here in just a few minutes, what are some of the things that you have on your agenda coming up?
Yeah, so on my agenda, I have some upcoming specials releasing with Sesame Street, again, playing the character of Gabrielle.
Cool. And also, I'm so excited.
Yes, I can't wait to give you all an air date on when to tune in. But that's, again, that's focusing on racial equality and, you know, standing up to racism. I love the opportunity to teach the next generation of, you know, what it means to, you know, stand up and voice your opinion and treat everyone fairly and kindly. So that's going to be really fun. Another upcoming thing, I have a new character. Her name is Lulu, and she is a singer-songwriter. An eager beaver. She is.
Wonder where she got that from.
Yes, she is literally a beaver. So she's going to be starting her own page, and they'll be targeted for some of my younger audience to follow and be inspired by her. She's going to do some lifestyle tips and affirmations for our young kids, and so I'll be working on that later this year. She'll be debuting online in October. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm still continuing to songwrite, and I'm looking forward to next year when, you know, we can get out and, you know, perform live again. But for now, I've really been enjoying the opportunity to share content online and to be able to connect with people online as well too.
And what about story time at home? How hard do you have to work since you're not going out and about? How are the expectations at home from the little one?
Oh my goodness. My little one is literally so fun. I mean, he could be in the house for 2 days straight and having the time of his life. He loves anything with cars, anything with wheels or that flies, any kind of locomotive that has an engine. So we've been watching lots of cars. We've been reading lots of books about cars.
I mean, I'm wondering, does he make you pull out the puppets, or is he like my kids? Mom,
You know? He thinks it's cute for a second, but he knows my voice in and out. So
I'll
put the puppet to him, and he'll just kind of look at me like, he's only cute, but he's like, I know that's you. But he really does like hearing books, because I'll do the books in different character voices. And so his favorite book that I read to him with different emotions and characters is Llama Llama Red Pajama. Whenever he wants to read it, he can't really say llama, so he says mama, mama, mama.
Yeah. That's so cute. Well, listen, we're kind of going to need to wrap up. It's about all the time we have for now, but I want to thank you so much for joining us. You are awesome and a true blessing. And I just wanted to know if you would mind taking us out with your another one of my favorites, your song, Your Soul Still Shining, as a wrap up today.
Yeah.
All right. No, well, listen, and we'll take it on out with that song. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Stein.
All right.
I got stuck in the rain and lost my way. Thought that nothing could change the pain. But I found a door to more. Move my life indoors, found bright new chords. Even when there's a storm, the sun still rises. So no need for blue skies, my soul's still shining. I found the la 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 light, la 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 light. I found the la 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 light, la 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 light. Pushing myself to get out the bed. Tell me what is a weekend when there's no end. Then I took a breath and felt no stress. How could I be pressed when I have health? Even when there's a storm, the sun still rises. So no need for blue skies, my soul's still shining. I found the la 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 light, la 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 light. I found the la 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 light, la 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 light. I found the light.
Thank you.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Bye.